Right, well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Planning Committee meeting. The order of business
is as printed in the agenda, Chair, and we have apologies from Councillor Hackett and Councillor Johnston.
Okay, any declarations of interest? Oh, Councillor Baird.
And it's not about schools, for once. I need to declare interest in the fueling station. There might be a possible conflict of interest just in the future, just covering myself.
Okay, thanks very much for that. That'll be recorded, Councillor Baird. Anybody else that has an interest in an item can declare it when we come to that particular item. That then takes us on to minutes of the previous meeting, which was held on the 3rd of April, pages 5 to 14. Is that approved? It's a correct record. Thank you very much. That then takes us into public reports, the first one being the Pennycook Heritage Regeneration Project on pages 15 to 60. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report seeking the committee's approval of a Pennycook Conservation Area Management Plan, which incorporates a management plan for the Pennycook Townscape Heritage Project Area. In March 2018, the Council submitted two Stage 2 applications, the first to the Heritage Lottery Trust for a Townscape Heritage Grant and the second to Historic Environment Scotland for a Conservation Area Regeneration Scheme grant. Both grants would be towards a Heritage Regeneration Scheme for Pennycook. The scheme is called the Pennycook Heritage Regeneration Project and aims to improve identified historical assets in Pennycook. The works will include improvements to the facades of buildings, improvements to the streetscape, and a range of educational and community training events, all designed to enhance the local economy and sense of community through environmental improvement. If the bids are successful, the Council could see approximately £3 million being spent in Pennycook Town Centre over a five-year period. A requirement for the securing grant funding from the Heritage Lottery Fund is that the Council adopt a heritage management plan. This plan is attached, and therefore the recommendation is that the committee approve the Pennycook Conservation Area Management Plan, incorporating the management plan for the Pennycook Townscape Heritage Project Area.
Lots of words there. Is that agreed? Any questions? Sorry, I should have asked, is there any questions? No. Quite happy with that. Progress is going on there. I think we're all quite pleased that things are happening, and we hope to see the outcome. That then takes us on to item 5.2, which is the normal circulation of the major developments and the pre-applications which are before us, and just really an update on where we are and hopefully when they may be coming forward. Is there any questions that any member has individually, or we're just quite happy to see that the progress of where these particular applications sit? Quite happy with where they sit? Right, thank you very much indeed. That then takes us on to item 5.3, which is the appeals and local review body decisions, which is on page 67 to 78. Again, just for reporting on the LRB and also reporting on the outcome of the appeals that have been with the Scottish Government. Are they there for noting? Quite happy with that? Okay, thank you very much. That then takes us on to item 5.4, which is on page 79 to 84, which is a pre-application consultation for land at Roslyn.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report regarding a pre-application consultation for residential development at land northwest of Moat View, Roslyn. The purpose of this report is to afford members the opportunity to make comment on the proposals at this very early stage of the planning process, in line with the guidance reported to committee at its meeting in June 2017. The applicants have engaged in a public consultation exercise, which included holding a public drop-in session in March 2018. The report outlines a provisional planning consideration with regard to development and material considerations. The Midlothian Local Development Plan identifies the majority of the site as being allocated for housing, site HS19, where there is a presumption in favour of appropriate residential development. However, the northern tip of the site is outwith the housing allocation, and is within the green belt and is identified as prime agricultural land where there is a presumption against development. The Midlothian Local Development Plan identifies a number of development requirements which any future application will have to address. These are referenced in paragraph 3.6 of the report. However, it is worth noting that this consideration is based on the indicative information available at present. A detailed assessment of any proposal will be made if a planning application is forthcoming. The applicant could submit a planning application once the public consultation has been concluded. It is recommended that the committee notes the provisional planning permission set out in the report, that any comments made by members will form part of the minute of the committee meeting, and that the expression of a provisional view does not fetter the committee in its consideration of any subsequent formal planning application.
Thank you very much indeed. Open up any questions, comments? Nope. Okay, just let it go through the due process. Right, thank you very much indeed. That then takes us on to item 5.5 on pages 85 to 98, which is a section 42 application to remove condition 5 at a house in Damhead, Lothianburn. Again, Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report regarding two Section 42 applications to remove a planning condition imposed on two grants of planning permission for the erection of a dwelling house at 19A Dam Head. Two separate planning permissions for the erection of a dwelling house were granted in 1984, subject to a condition restricting the occupancy of the dwelling house to a person employed or last employed in agriculture. The dwelling house was erected and occupied. The agricultural tie was applied as the dwelling house is located in the Greenbelt, where there is a fundamental policy objection to new dwellings. However, exceptions to the policy position can be made if it is demonstrated that there is a justification for a dwelling house in support of a rural business, which is dependent on its countryside location. The site is still within the Greenbelt. An application to remove the condition was previously considered by the committee at its meeting in December 2000 and was refused. The house continued to be occupied in compliance with the condition following this decision. The current applications have been submitted with a supporting statement which suggests that national planning policy position with regard to the use of restrictive conditions has changed in recent years and that restrictive occupancy conditions should not be applied. This is the case for the erection of new dwellings in some rural areas across Scotland. In response, Midlothian rarely imposes a restrictive condition on applications for new dwellings. Instead, it assesses an application to be either acceptable or not. However, this application is not for the erection of a new dwelling, but relates to an existing dwelling house in the Greenbelt, which without the restriction would be contrary to policy. Furthermore, the change in national policy is directed at supporting rural economies and communities, not to support housing development in the Greenbelt areas, which are under pressure from commuter housing, such as the case with regard 19A Dam Head. There have been three representations and a consultation response from the Dam Head and District Community Council in support of the applications. The details of the representations and consultations are set out in Section 5 and 6 of the report. It is considered that there is still a justification for the restrictive condition, but it is acknowledged that the condition originally drafted in 1984 could be clearer and more precise, and as such, the recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to an amended restrictive condition.
Okay. Right. Open up for questions, comments. Councillor Winchester, I think you called it in anyway.
Thanks, Chair. I find that with the amount of new building going up all over the place, that actually putting any restriction on any housing in Midlothian is very strange indeed. Plus, Damhead Community Council have given their agreement to this, so there's nothing other than the wishes of the council why this still has a occupancy condition on. And I would say that with all the planning probably going in Damhead as well, that any occupancy condition should be removed.
Right, thank you. Peter, just a question on what Councillor Winchester said. It doesn't really affect in any way, does it? I mean, apart from it being in the Green Belt, but it doesn't really affect whether there was a condition on or not the person's right to sell the house.
Yeah, no, Chair. The house is there. That's been there since the mid-1980s. That's the position. I think the current, or the owner occupiers, have, I think, recently passed away, so that's why it's become empty and gone onto the market. I think they've struggled to sell it because they've obviously marketed it, should we just say, whatever the normal house value would be, but obviously you've got this restriction on it because of its location within the green belt. I guess in normal situations now, if an application come forward, the planning authority would make a judgment whether that house is either acceptable or not. It would almost have a clean-cut yes or no. I suppose back in 1984, there was this sort of middle ground where you would make an exception to the rule subject to this sort of occupancy arrangement. So there was a third, sort of almost like a third way, really. But government guidance is moving away from that restrictive condition. But it does still give scope to use it if required. And there's still a requirement in the Midlothian Local Plan, adopted in November 2017, that the dwellings in the Greenbelt have a occupancy restriction tying to their sort of rural needs, so hence we're in this situation, Chair.
Do you want to come back on that, Councillor Winchester?
Yes, please, sorry. I just still find it absolutely amazing that in this day and age we're putting restrictions on who can live in a house that's already there. There are people moving from outside Midlothian into Midlothian the whole time, and by restricting this house to someone already living here does nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, it could go up, anyone should be able to buy it.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Hardy.
My only concern with removing a restriction would be that would it set a sort of prerequisite of us that we're very willing to remove restrictions, and equally would make it difficult for us to apply restrictions, because obviously this particular one is related to agricultural, but we can have restrictions to do with the affordable housing, we can have restrictions to do with people have to be residents of the county, we can have restrictions to do with people have to be elderly because it might be a sheltered accommodation. So my concern would be that would we then be creating a scenario where we're tying ourselves to not supporting conditions when actually, and there may other be cases where we may support them.
Yeah, I mean, there are other restrictions that apply in other different types of housing, and one that jumps out to me is often there are restrictions on certain age groups. If you have a certain property designed for certain people, which sometimes there's been restrictions based on, you've got to be over 55 or 60 to live in this sort of elderly people's home and so on and so forth. So there are restrictions in some areas. In terms of this, you can make a judgment based on this individual property. I guess from my point of view, if the committee's quite relaxed about the idea of not having a restrictive condition in the green belt in terms of an agricultural tie, then I suppose if we get future applications, then we would just take this decision on board and it would be relevant or material to that assessment. It's quite a difficult thing trying to define whether a particular decision is a precedent as such. You often find there's a fine margin between schemes which you make a judgment on can't necessarily be just used to make the same decision on a similar application elsewhere, but it's often the rationale behind it. So if the committee are minded to say, actually, you know, we've reached a point where we don't think we need houses that are tied, then I suppose as a plan officer would take that away and feel, okay, that's the general position that the elected members want to take, and that's what I would take on board, almost like we do with like appeal decisions. You need to take on board sort of previous decisions. I suppose I would also say, Chair, I haven't got the exact number, but there's mostly not a huge number of houses that have these tie. We're not talking about thousands of houses. We're talking about a few houses there, here and there, but I haven't got the exact number, but it's not a mass of housing. So you're talking about a relatively small number. I suppose in this case, it simply comes down to, you know, that sort of basic principle where you encourage development and growth in certain areas of the district, but there's a bit more of a restrictive approach in other areas, i.e. the green belt. So that's why you're in this situation where you've got a house with a restrictive condition, because you wouldn't normally grant just a dwelling house to be occupied by, say, a commuter in the green belt. That's contrary to the policies. That's why we've got the condition.
Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, am I right in assuming that the conditions relate to it being an agricultural development and it has to fulfil that criteria for the person that buys it. But then I'm reading a report that says that the ground is unsustainable for any kind of... I mean, you can get one cow on it and one sheep, and it's not going to be sustainable for growing crops. So I think we're maybe looking at an outdated condition here that doesn't really serve any relevance.
Chair, if I just come back, just to clarify, it's about whether the building or the condition about whether the building, the property, is occupied by someone who works or last worked in agriculture. It doesn't necessarily have to be on that unit. It doesn't mean there's not an assessment of whether that unit is viable or not. I think the applicant came forward with some information saying that that individual unit isn't viable, and we've assessed that and we would agree with that, but it doesn't stop someone, an agricultural worker, living there and then working on maybe the neighbouring agricultural unit. So it's about being who's occupying it rather than the viability of that individual property or units.
Okay, anybody else? Sorry, Councillor Mulligan.
Yeah, and Peter's answer there, the only question I then have to Peter is there any risk that if we take this condition off that we're going to see a duplicate application in and around that area claiming they have to be there to be able to run any of that business? Or do you think that that kind of business is unviable now and there's no any of that, any risk to that?
Chair, I think in this, with regard to this individual property, this unit is not viable. I would agree with what the applicant's saying in terms of the size of the unit. It's not viable for an agricultural business. If, for example, you grant permission here without the condition and the house gets sold and we move on, I think if someone came forward and said, look, I want to build a house next door because I've just bought this bit of ground, I think I'd be saying, well, hang on a minute, this application demonstrated that unit was not viable for an agricultural business. I don't see how that can then justify a dwelling house. So we're in that sort of situation. But obviously, if someone comes forward and they've bought up multiple units or multiple pieces of ground, you're then into that assessment whether it requires a dwelling house or not.
Mayor Peter, just looking at the previous reasons that and change time that agricultural business might become profitable again at some stage, because in the previous reasons, one of the areas that that it was refused on was that if the agricultural market picked up, that this could become viable again. And that's the only bit of what I watch, is that we didn't say, yeah, we'll take that restriction off, and then we're faced 5 years down the line with somebody saying, well, I need to build an arhouse on the green belt in the countryside to run this business. So if you're comfortable enough, Peter, that it's no likely to ever become viable again, then that's fine with me.
Yeah, Chair, I think as well what's happened in the past here is that the previous occupants had a agricultural holding. They've obviously got to a certain age, so they've maybe retired. They've maybe then sold off part of the units, so the units shrunk in size. The overall land holdings has shrunk. So that's happened. But because the condition allowed someone whose last employment was in agriculture, i.e. when you retire, you don't get to move out your house, it was still in compliance with the condition. But, yeah, I think if I had an application coming forward, I don't think they could justify that unit is viable to support a new dwelling house.
Right, Councillor Winchester, do you want to move something?
Yeah, thanks. I move that all restrictions are taken off the houses proposed.
Anybody else wants to move the report? You're quite happy to see this condition removed. Agreed? Okay, thanks very much indeed. That then brings us to the next item, which is item 5.6, which is on pages 99-118. It's an application up at Melville Gate Road, Dalkeith. Peter, in between water. Oh, sorry, Councillor Bridge, you're removing yourself. Right, OK. Right.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the erection of a petrol filling station, shop and two cafe-restaurants, each including a drive-through on land at Sheriff Hall South, Melville Gate Road, Dalkeith. The proposed petrol filling station has five car pump stations and two heavy goods vehicle pump stations. The proposed shop is approximately 490 square metres and will provide convenient shopping, including deli and bakery, and will be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The unit will have 13 car parking spaces. One of the cafe street restaurants will be open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The second will be open 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. 7 days a week. Both include a drive-through and would share 56 car parking spaces. All of the buildings are of contemporary design using contemporary materials and are of a style that you would expect at a service station development. The site will be accessed off the Gilmerton Road, approximately 100 metres east of the A7 / Gilmerton Road roundabout. The site is located within allocated economic site E32, Sherfall South, identified for Class 4 business uses. The proposed uses fall out with Class 4 and as such are contrary to the site's allocation in the Midlothian Local Development Plan. Class 4 uses include business uses such as offices, research and development, and some industrial uses. They are seen as fundamental uses to stimulate economic growth, and as a consequence, there is a requirement in the structure plan and in national planning policy to allocate and deliver Class 4 sites in the local plan. The proposed development is contrary to this policy position. Furthermore, the retail unit is of a scale which cannot be considered solely ancillary to the petrol filling station and as such is contrary to the principle of town centres first as set out in the local plan and at national planning policy. There have been 6 representations objecting to the application and 9 consultation responses, the details of which are set out in sections 5 and 6 of the report, and the recommendation is to refuse planning permission.
Okay, open up for questions, comments. Thanks again, Peter. Councillor Curran.
Thanks, Chair. I've got reservations regarding this, specific to traffic and the economic impact on our town centres, particularly in Dalkeith and in Bonnerigg.
Anybody else want to say anything? Right, Councillor Hardy and Councillor Mulligan.
I'm unable to determine why economic development can't also include retail and a petrol station and a cafe, because at the moment the land is not being used by anything to generate jobs and income for anyone. So I'm unable to determine why we have a hostility against one type of economic use versus another type of economic use. I mean, jobs are better than no jobs, in my view, and that seems to be what this is offering. And one of the criticisms is that it's apparently not economic use enough. We talk about the going against our policy about town centres. I mean, this is clearly, not the sort of development that would be viable in a town centre. I mean, I don't think any town centre wants a petrol station plonked right in the middle, and I'm sure the residents of Dalkeith certainly wouldn't want a petrol station in Jarnock Court. So, I again don't see how it's contrary to our local development plan.
Slightly don't want a petrol station in Pennycook, except that it's there.
Yeah, I don't know how you didn't see this, because what we're continuing to see here is an effect of people looking to put retail into areas that is supposed to be economic development land. There's very little economic development land released. The big argument here to use up this site was for something like that, to have the economic development land in there. Garage aside, I accept the argument there's nobody really wanting one slapped in a town centre, but what we have here is a mixed use, and the retail use is the area that concerns me. The food use and cafe style, hot food takeaway stuff and restaurant wise is the stuff that really concerns me here. I think I wholeheartedly agree with officers on the recommendation, but I think we need to be strengthening them and arguing that the effect that this would have. We're currently looking at the renewal of the Dalkeith Town Centre, trying to attract businesses into it, and to open businesses like this in direct competition to them just on the outskirts in there would actually have a real detrimental effect, I think, as well, on the town centre of Dalkeith and possibly Bonnerigg. So I would actually agree wholeheartedly with the officers on this, and I would argue that another reason for refusal be put in, and that would be that the detrimental effect on your town centres nearby.
Yeah, I agree with certain aspects of both arguments put forward there. But the thing that concerns me is the two fast food outlets. I think we need another petrol station, because with the advent of McDonald's coming to Tesco's, we're going to be struggling to get into Tesco's for petrol soon. So I think that a petrol station would be acceptable, but I have, same as Derek, I have my reservations about what it's going to do to town centres.
Can I ask just how long this has stood empty waiting for businesses to move on to it?
Chair, the report sets that out and starts with the position that the applicant has said they started marketing it in 2009, so that's when they've said they've started to market it. But we have tried to address that in the report by saying, well, it maybe just needs a different marketing approach. I know that my economic development colleagues have looked at it, and the site's been marketed at values equal to, if not more, than some sites in Edinburgh. And it's maybe there's reasons why it's not been taken up for those classic class four uses, and it's maybe to do with simply the price of the site. The alternative is that there's another way of opening these sites up, which is maybe to build some speculative units. We must probably all know how popular and well-used sites like Bilston Glen are. You can't get any other units in there. So there is a market locally for business sites if someone would build some speculative units. So there is potential for it, Chair. The other thing worth bearing in mind is that the site was allocated on the basis that it was class four uses, but it's still being kept in the green belt, and the purpose for that is that if it doesn't go for class four, then the council has a choice to make in the future at the next local plan whether it wants it to go back to green belt. So it's effectively done like that. It doesn't default that just because you can't get class four, anything goes. You still have choices to make in that regard, Chair.
I think with its proximity, it has good potential for economic development sites, and there is a big difference between the commercial development and the more, you know, the unit-based kind of environment for running businesses. If we continue to take the approach that we fill all our economic sites with commercial sites, then we're just heading even further in the direction that we've come in, because we'll have, you know, in Midlothian, you'll either, as I think something like 54% of people do, you'll either go into the town to get a higher paid job, or you'll work in the service industries in Midlothian, because that's basically all we'll have. Now, there is a demand for small units that's not being fulfilled, and part of the reason that it's not being fulfilled has just been explained there, that the landowners in the area are marketing it above the prices of similar facilities in Edinburgh. And, you know, that's just no correct. I think that we need to resist attempts to weaken the potential of sites like this for short-term gain. And I think we need to make sure that this site, as was just said, either is going to be actively marketed for the purposes in which it's been allocated, or it goes back to Greenbelt.
That's Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Chair. I support this application in the sense that it should be refused on the following grounds that's been laid out, but also regards to the town centre itself. And many of the businesses that are in the town centre have been with us for a long time and have remained loyal to the area. And I think we should be supportive of them. And allowing other cafes, etc., outside the area is really just going to affect. And you talk about jobs, but what about the jobs in the town centre that could be lost by businesses closing down because they can't compete? So I truly think that we shouldn't support this. We should support the officer's recommendation.
Thanks very much indeed. Anybody else want to make a contribution? Nope. Can I have somebody then to move something? Councillor Mulligan.
Chair, can I move the report as there and the recommendations that are set out, and can I ask for an additional recommendation as to the effect that this would have on the detriment of the local town centres nearby, mainly Dalkeith and Botherick?
I'm happy to move an alternative that we accept that a job is better than no job, and that you know, while it's perhaps not the ideal use that was envisaged at the start, it's a site that currently and has been marketed for some time has not got a use. We'll be introducing a use there of petrol station and a drive-by cafes and whatnot, which is in the interests of job creation. It's not in the vicinity of the town centre and doesn't compete directly with any of the existing cafes in the town centre, as it appears to be directed mainly at passing traffic that wouldn't be going through the town centre anyway. And it certainly seems to be in the interest of local residents in terms of an extra petrol station for them to fuel their cars as they commute to about their daily lives and allow them to get a coffee on the way to their work. So I think in the interests of the residents of Bonnyrigg and Dalkeith and the wider Midlothian, I think it's important that we consider rejecting the officer's proposals and allowing it.
OK, thanks for that. As a seconder for Councillor Hardy, Councillor Winchester, do you want to say anything? OK, I'll put it straight to the vote unless anyone wants to make a contribution, and that is the motion moved by Councillor Mulligan, seconded by Councillor Russell, is to uphold the officer's report and refuse the planning application. Please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And me.
8, Chair.
Right, thank you. And those that are going to support the amendment moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Winchester, please show.
2, 3, 4, Chair.
Okay, right, the officer's report is upheld and the application is refused. Can I thank you for your attendance?
Excuse me, I'm
way ahead of myself, sorry.
That's plus an additional reason for refusal, was it, in relation to you?
Right, thanks. Thank again for your attendance. And for those that have got another meeting, you've got 5 minutes to have a coffee. But not at the drive-through.